We certainly appreciate Brother Frank's comments and stirring our minds there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very much appreciate the prayer. We'd ask that you would pray for us as we stand before you in the afternoon. I've learned this and what little experience I've had in trying to preach that an afternoon service, in my humble estimation, should be one that the man labors to keep the attention of the congregation, and when he starts to lose it, the best thing to do is just stop and let's go into another portion of our service, which could be in fellowship. And I'm hoping the Lord will bless us to keep your attention. But if our minds become distracted and be an afternoon, I'll promise you I'll do the best I can to wrap it up real quick. If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, and I trust that you do, please turn with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We'll begin in verse 24 and consider verse 24 and 25. Now, you're going to hear me say this afternoon the Apostle Paul concerning the book of Hebrews, because I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul is the penman of the book of Hebrews. But whether you agree with me or not that the Apostle Paul is the penman, could you agree that God is the author of the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration of the Spirit, "And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The Bible gives us much information and truth concerning what God has done for us. And I'm very thankful for the information, the comfort of that information. The church is established by the preaching of that information, of what the Lord done for us on the cross of Calvary, and us being saved from our sins to heaven. And concerning that eternal grace, it's of God, all of God, with no help from man at all. But the Bible also says much about what we should be as children of God here in this world. That's what's so precious about the Bible. The Bible tells us what God done for us, but it also tells us what we should be as children of God. The Bible does not tell us ways to become children of God, but the Bible teaches us how we should walk and live in this world as children of God. Brother Frank has mentioned to us this afternoon about that love in action. That not only should we have love, we should be showing love. People should see our love. There was a deacon at Mount Pierre in Primitive Baptist Church when I first was called to the church. His name was Brother S.W. Causey. Brother Causey was a school superintendent there in Social Circle, Georgia. And I remember when I had arrived as the pastor at Mount Pierre Primitive Baptist Church, about the week after, I called Brother Causey just to see how he was. And Brother Causey, he said, "I'm sure you've been thinking about me some this week, Brother Ronnie." I said, "Yes, I have. I've been thinking and praying for you, Brother Causey." He said, "Well, I'm glad you called. I would have not have known you were thinking about me unless you called." Yeah. You see, it's possible for us to have love for our brother and sister and not show love for our brother and sister. It's important that we love, but it's important that we show that love that others could see. With that thought in mind, I'd like for us to focus our minds here in this portion of Scripture that we brought to your attention in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul here is talking to a congregation of people that have believed the truth. They've heard the truth preached. They have embraced it. But because of persecutions, because of false teachers, because of the circumstances of the world, they're now falling away. And the Apostle Paul, in his effort, lays a foundation concerning what they believed and what they've been taught. But he also exhorts them and encourages them, almost beseeching them to be what the gospel calls on them to be as children of God in this world. You know, we as church members, we need to be exhorted from time to time. We need to be encouraged from time to time. Not only do I need to be reminded of what the Lord done for me, I need to be exhorted and someone to beseech me, come to me, and give me even admonition and tell me what I should be as a child of God in the church. Now, I'm going to go ahead and confess to you that most of this that I'm going to say this afternoon, I had a very good friend. I have a very good friend in the state of North Carolina that gave me most of this. But you know, I have not got beyond stealing thoughts from another man. The Apostle Paul said there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that they may teach others also." Paul said, you take what I've taught you, you get it, and you teach it to others, the same thing. So this that I have gotten, most of it from him, I hope that I've taken it and studied it and made it my own, and this afternoon it'd be from me, and I hope it's blessed of the Lord. But I want us to consider ways that we, the children of God in the church, could exhort one another in the church. Last night we saw a precious little brother and sister that came home to the church, and Lord willing, they'll be baptized. But you know, these two little children of God, they, if the Lord didn't come back, they got many mountains and hills in their life. They're going to have many challenges. You know, I think about me at my age and the things that I face. But you know, the world is getting worse and worse all the time. And I'm sure these children of God, if the Lord doesn't come back soon, they're going to face worse than what you and I have, yeah. Brother William. And I think it's important that we encourage one another and exhort one another concerning this service that we have in the house of God. You know, the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 that we should be kind to one another. Teaches us that we should be forgiving of one another. Galatians 6:3, we should bear one another's burdens. James chapter 5 there in verse 16, we should confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. We should also exhort one another, encourage one another, beseech one another that we would live a life as we should as children of God in the church. We recently had a brother that came forward at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church and asked for a home and had a desire to be baptized. And I tell you, his confession was better than any sermon that I ever could preach. He ended his confession by saying, "If you'll take me in, I'll promise I'll do everything I can possibly do never to bring shame on the church." Praise God. I wish we all had that attitude. That we would be exhorted and beseeched and provoked to never bring shame on the church. But you know, there's more than one way to bring shame on the church. You know, we can live a life out here in the world that brings shame on the church, but we can also forsake the church and bring shame on the church. So may we be exhorted to not only love the Lord as we should, but love Him enough to be faithful to Him in His house. So this afternoon, let's just consider ways that we could exhort and encourage one another to be faithful in God's service in His house. First way we could exhort another brother or sister is to remind them that God is worthy of our service and worship. You know, this world is not worthy of our attention. This world likes to demand more and more of you, but it's not worthy of our attention. You know, sometimes people will look at a person that's really devoted to the Lord and think, well, they're wasting a lot of time. They're giving a lot to that when they could be spending more time out in the world, making riches, having fun. Why do you want to give your life to that? But you know, when they think that you are wasting your time giving service to the Lord, you're not. Wasting time is found in giving time to the world. You remember the prodigal son? When he went away from his father's house, it was there he wasted.
Yeah.
It's not wasted in the house of God. You remember Judas there in John chapter 12? You can also find it in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. When Mary came in and anointed the feet of Jesus, and she took that spikenard that was very costly, Judas said this. He said, "Why is this waste? Why was not this sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" But that was not a waste. Anytime we show our devotion and dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we make Him and His service in His kingdom a priority of our life, it's not a waste. Why? He is worthy of our time and attention.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, it calls on us to be that when it tells us and declares unto us that He is worthy, that Lamb, of all that we could give. You know, there's different ways to have idols in this world. Some people think the only way you can have an idol is if it's just made of brass or gold or silver or put in your house. There's a lot of things people make idols out of. You know, the last verse in 1 John chapter 5, the last verse, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why did John say that? Have you ever noticed the phrase little children over and over in that epistle? John is talking to us as little kids and understanding the poor importance of us as little kids in growing up and putting God first in our life. Now I want to ask you, parents, have you ever bought things for your kids and they open it up on Christmas Day and they lay the toy aside and play with the box?
Yeah.
That have you? And you say, look, I bought this. The box is not that important. And you can't get the box away from them. For them to play with toys. They have to learn what's important. Every child has to be taught what's important. And we, as little children of God, need to be taught what's important in life. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's important for us to be good, honest citizens of the United States of America. It's important that we be willing to labor and put forth an effort and provide for our families. But it's most important that we put Jesus Christ as our priority. Nothing between us and Him. Why? Because He is worthy. Nothing else is worthy of taking that place in our lives. I did a little study here recently about time during the week. And I thought about the time that we actually spend in the house of God. And maybe the time that an average person who would give to prayer and reading of the Bible during the week. I thought about a person maybe that would pray and read their Bible 30 minutes a day. And then go to church every Sunday. And you add that up, them being at the house of God maybe 2 hours, reading their Bible and praying 30 minutes a day. And then compare that to a 7-day week of 24 hours. Do you realize they're still only giving about 4% of their week to the Lord? If I remember right, under the law, they're required to give 10%. Now, I don't believe we're under that law today, but I've never read in Scripture where law exceeded grace. And I think we've got more light and more understanding and a closer walk with God that we should be given more than what they gave under the law. I should put Jesus as my priority to give more than 10% of my week unto Him. I think 10% might be a good place to start. But I will never waste time in making Him a priority. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be exhorted to be a faithful member of the church, remember, Jesus is worthy of our time. You realize if we fall away from a faithful service to the Lord, what we're saying is something else is more worthy of our time. Nothing is more worthy of our time than Jesus and His house. It's a great cause in this world. I think another way we can be exhorted concerning children of God in the house of the Lord is to remember that the church is a body. Have you ever noticed the Apostle Paul there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 makes reference to us being many members, but we're one body? Have you ever put thought to you being part of the body, and you being part of the body, and you being part of the body, and you being part of the body, but you're different parts to the body, and how each part of the body is still very much important to the body as a whole? So, you know, the eye can't say to the foot, I don't have any need of thee, and the head can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of thee. No, we're all equally important. Have you ever thought about my body? Head, your own body, arms, and feet. I realize we can lose a limb and still survive, but it will require an effort of the rest of your body to make up for that deficiency. Now, if we're all part of that body, don't you think it's important that each part of the body be at the house of God so the body could function properly? So that if I miss a church service, the church, when it meets together, is actually missing, if I'm part of the church, a part of that body, so it ends up hurting the rest of the body. You know, when we miss church, we don't think about it hurting someone else, right? But it does. It not only hurts us, but it hurts someone else. And when we think of it that way, we should be exhorted to be faithful church members, because the last thing I want to do is to cause one of my brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble. Have you ever noticed what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 concerning those little children? That one that would offend one of those little children is better for them if a millstone was cast about around their neck and they was cast into the depths of the sea. I've had people say, what does that mean figuratively? I tell you what it means figuratively. It'd be better if a millstone was wrapped around your neck and was cast into the depths of the sea. That's what it means. You don't want to offend one of these little ones. And if I'm not faithful in the house of God, this little sister that's joined the church, I don't want to offend you. I want to be, in your eyes, what God has called me to be, that we can be as part of that body in the church as we need one another.
Yeah.
I think another way we can exhort one another is for us to remember the temptations of Satan. You know, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh to be made devour. You know, the devil, he knows he hath but a short time. I don't think the devil believes he can take people to hell. I'll be honest with you, I think the devil's got a lot more sense than most preachers in the world. But the devil knows where to work. The devil's work is not to take people to hell. The devil's work is to destroy a child of God's life here in this world. He seeketh whom he may devour, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And do you realize if we separate ourselves from the flock, we become easy prey.
Right.
Remember Amalek in the Old Testament? Amalek, when he came against the children of Israel, he always came to the weak, didn't he? Those that were on the hindmost. He'd always get them that were a little separated from the flock. Why? Because they're easy prey. Have you ever watched Animal Kingdom? And you see the lion, him come out, and you see this big flock of zebras, and they start chasing. It's always the zebra that gets broke off that they catch, right? When you consider the temptations of the devil is bold enough to come to each one of us and tempt us with sin. Look, if he's bold enough to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4, he's bold enough to tempt you. But do you realize that you are stronger in standing against the temptations of the devil when we have one another to lean upon and also one another to be accountable to? Accountability is good. I had a man come to me once. He was having a problem with things on the internet. And I told him the best thing you can do is become accountable for your actions. Don't have to do anything in secret. Make sure everything you do is known by your entire family. And it will make you accountable and it will help you overcome the issues you have. Temptations of the devil are like that. When we have one another to be accountable to, when we have one another to lean upon, we also have one another to share experiences with. You know, there's no temptation taking you that's not common to man.
That's right. Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul told them, there's no temptation taking you, but which is common to man, but God is faithful, who with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now what is Paul saying there? Paul is saying you haven't went through anything that another man hadn't went through already. And he's also saying if you fall to it, don't blame God. It's not God's fault that you fell to it, because God would have helped you get out of it. If you fall to it, it's your fault. But all temptations are common to man. So if I have a temptation, do you realize there's probably someone in the house of God that's had a similar temptation?
Sure.
And I can go to him and he can help me with his experience. Experience is not the best teacher. God's the best teacher. But experience is a real good teacher. And experience will help you along the way. That's why I love to spend time with the older members of the church. And I love to see the children spending time with the older members of the church. That way they can help them. Have you ever noticed over in Zechariah chapter 8? And Zechariah is making reference to prospering Zion. And you got the old that's in the streets leaning on the staffs and the children, the boys and girls playing. What you have is a prospering Zion. When you see prospering Zion, you see the older and the younger, and they're helping one another. The young can encourage the old, and the old help the younger, that we would be better disciples of Jesus. We should be exhorted concerning the fear of temptations. Another way that we can exhort one another is to remind each other we need each other for growth in the Lord. You know, it's possible, Brother Ricky, for me as an individual to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. That Bible right there and the Lord being in my heart, and I should labor to grow as an individual. But I think it's impossible for me to be what I could be in growth without you, Brother Shane. We need one another. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the counsel or countenance of his friend. It's important for me to have other preachers to talk to. Brothers and sisters in Macedonia, do you realize I probably talk to your pastor every day on the telephone? I know what you're thinking, Brother Ron, you need to find something to do. Sometimes I aggravate him. He'll call me and I'll shoot him that text. Say, sorry, I can't talk now. And he'll call me again. Don't you do that to me. Brother Frank, last night I was trying to get his telephone number. I said, Brother Frank, call me on the telephone. I have your number. He called me and I was sitting across the table. I sent him that text. Sorry, I can't talk right now. I said, how does that make you feel, Brother Frank? But you know, by me talking to Brother Will on a regular basis, and every time I converse with Brother Will, he helps me in a Bible verse. Whether giving me light or challenging me to study more on the verse. We need one another in that sense. Do you think it's possible for you as an individual to grow to what you could be without one another? The Lord gave us one another. Do you know the most self-righteous statement a person can make is this: I don't need the church. Wow. The Bible says, if a man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. That is pure arrogance. And that Holy Spirit will go before a fall. That person that doesn't think he needs the church, she needs the church, is arrogant and haughty. No, we need one another to help one another to grow as we should. Now, think of it in the sense of vegetation. If I take just a little bitty spot of grass and I put it out here on a mound and it by itself, do you think it's going to prosper and grow as much as it could if it was in a large field of grass? No, it'd be there all alone. It couldn't prosper and grow. What about trees that would be close to one another so that the root system could intertwine? And a great wind would come. You'll find a tree that's over there by itself that people made some clearing. It'll fall over. But those trees that are all close to one another, they'll be intertwined in roots and they can withstand the storms. They can withstand the false teachers of the world. Why? They've got one another to lean upon, to help one another, to sharpen one another, to strengthen one another concerning the truth. Yes, we need the church that we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter called upon us to do in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I think we need to be exhorted in the church, not only because he is worthy, not only because of the temptations, not only because we need to remember we're body, not only to remember we need each other for growth, we should be exhorted in remembering that it's a joy to be with one another. Do you know there's a sense of joy that we have in seeing each other face to face? I love to get a phone call from my brothers and sisters. But there's much more joy in seeing one another face to face. Have you ever noticed there in the second epistle of John in verse 12, when the apostle John would say he was going to write unto them, but not with paper and ink? Why? Because he wanted to come unto them and speak to them face to face that our joy may be full. John spoke about a joy that he would have in seeing them face to face. Now, if there's a meeting going on at the church where my membership is, and I called them up and said, hey, I love y'all, I'm praying with you, my spirit's with you, do you think that would give as much joy as them seeing my face in the house of God? How much joy do you think your pastor would have if he came here to the church of Macedonia and every member of the church that was able to come was there with a smile on their face? Do you realize your attendance in church has much to do with the encouragement of even his study? I'll tell you a story about my mama. My mama's sister, Faye Loudermilk. God blessed me with a good mama. When I was a little boy, you know, Bob and Donna were much older than me and David. And they were already basically grown when I was born. But I can remember getting up in the morning, and Mama always would have biscuits on the stove. And she always would cook too many. And I would go to the stove, and the biscuits would be all over the stove. And Daddy would say, Faye, I think you cooked too many biscuits this morning. She said, well, you don't know. She said, Bobby may want two. David and Ronnie may want an extra one. somebody may come to see us. So Daddy, he'd lay off for a little while. Bobby Donna, they went off and got married, moved out from home. Mama, she kept making too many misses. Daddy'd get up in the morning, Faye, made too many misses, wasting the flyer. She said, well, you don't know. Said, Dave and Ronnie might want to. Bobby and Donna and Betty and Ricky, that's the in-laws, they may come and want a biscuit. Said, I think it'll be okay. Well, you know, David got married before I did. And it was just me there with Mom and Daddy. And Mom would make a few less biscuits, but still too many in Daddy's eyes. I remember Daddy get up and said, Faye, why are you making so many biscuits? Said, it's just me, you, and Ronnie here. Said, we'll never eat all these biscuits. She said, if you don't know, said, one of the grandkids might come in and want a biscuit. But I left home and got married. Daddy got sick. I come back to take care of Daddy. I got up one morning. Mama just made 4 biscuits. I'd never seen her make that few biscuits. Of course, Daddy, he's still fussing. Faye made too many biscuits. You know, it's just me and you here. Mama said, well, you don't know. Ronnie might want to. You know, my mama's expectation of having company reduced her effort in making biscuits. If you're not cautious, a pastor, his encouragement to study can be reduced because of his expectation of having a congregation to feed on Sunday. That's possible. Now, it's a labor to overcome that. And every pastor should labor to overcome that. But still, it's a hindrance. But it is a great joy when the pastor and the brothers of the church can come to the house of God and see one another face to face. John said, I long to see you face to face. And when we see each other face to face, our joy is full like that. We're encouraged in one another. And what a great blessing it is when we're there. I love to come to a communion meeting when everybody is there to take part in communion. Boy, I'll tell you what, this is heartbreaking for a friend. When everybody is there to take part in that communion and wash feet with one another, and you see the saints of God just so happy and doing as Jesus told us to do, and happy are you if you do those things. There's a joy in that. And I'm going to close this up real quickly because I want to end with this. There's a few more, but we'll see if we can finish it up some other time. The last reason I think it's important that we be exhorted to be faithful members of the church is when we join the church, we make a promise to the church. We actually covenant with the church to be at the house of God. You know, I was raised a missionary Baptist. I wasn't raised a primitive Baptist. I've heard people say, Brother Ronnie, you was raised under the law. I was raised under the law. I've had people ask me, did you go to the mourner's bench in the Missionary Baptist Church? Last night, Sister Allison mentioned the hymn, Just As I Am. I remember that hymn. That's the first time I went to a mourner's bench when I was 9 years old. And I went almost every Sunday from age 9 to age 16. I prayed and I begged God to save me. I never could feel what they told me I should feel. You know, there between my daddy's place and my uncle's place, there was a road, a little logging road. And on that road, I made me a spot. It was my altar. And I'd go there and I'd pray 2 or 3 times a week. You know, God, save me. I don't want to go to hell. But I remember when God blessed me to hear the truth and blessed me to believe the truth in Jesus Christ and that consolation that I had in Him. And I came to the Primitive Baptist Church and I heard that preached. And I asked for a home. You know what they did? They very kindly took me in. They didn't have to take me in. I didn't do nothing for the church. The church didn't need me. God's church did not need me. I needed the church. And the church kindly took me in. And I made a covenant with the church that I'd be there and I'd faithfully support the church. And when I made that promise, I should be willing to keep my word or promise. You know why? Because God promised something to me. And it was God that promised before the world began. God kept His promise. And if God kept His promise to me, praise God, I should keep my promise to Him and His church. Amen.